All right. Hey, good morning. Merry Christmas. Yeah, we're going to say it like that in here. Merry Christmas. Hey, a couple announcements before we get into the word this morning. Salvation Army has reached out, and what we're going to do is the Christmas tree that's back there, we're going to have 10 tags on it. They asked us how many we could do. We're kind of, church is small and things are weird right now, so we said we'll do 10 tags. And on each of those tags, you have children or you have a senior citizen this year. And they've got what they want for Christmas on those tags. And it's non-essential things, which is cool, right? Because, you know, people need a little more than just their water bill getting paid, right? They need a little more than food in their pantry. They need some, you know, something that would bless them. And so we're going to do 10 tags, and it'll be out there probably next week. Also, two for ringing the bell. If you guys want to donate some time and partner with them in ringing the bell, we could do shifts. Let me know after church if you're down with that. And then they'll put a sign out there that says Ark Bible Church and Salvation Army, and we're out there ringing the bell for the Salvation Army. And so if you guys got time to do that, that might be something to think about if you got that. Also, too, just kind of figure on about, if you do decide to ring that bell, just kind of figure a couple hours. We could do it in shifts. I'm sure they want somebody for 8 hours, but that's, I don't know how realistic that is. So we could probably just do like, you know, 20 minute, in, you know, or 30 minute or an hour, whatever you feel like donating your time. So get with me after church or Pastor Mac and let us know if you're able to get involved in that and help. Hey, and also too, on December 24th at 6 p.m., we've got a candlelight service here at Ark Bible Church. It's going to be amazing. I love it. Tell your friends to come on out. Obviously, with COVID, even though the churches are open, it's going to be a while before people feel comfortable actually coming. So I think what's going to be going on is it's going to be a small, intimate crowd like this. And we're going to be able to worship the Lord and do a candlelight service. So that's December 24th at 6 o'clock. Mark it on your calendars. Invite a friend because we'll have room if you're around. Also, too, a big special thanks. And you guys put your hands together for Sydney. She did all the painting out there, got it hooked up. If you don't like the color, she picked it. Like, you can just, she's right there. And she keeps trying to say it was a team effort between her and I, but it depends. So, but hey, we want to thank you guys. It wasn't just Sydney, it was Philip, it was so many other people, Jesse and Mac and everybody helping out. We got the roof fixed, we got it painted out there. Guy has done so much with the electrical, and Randall's done plumbing, and man, yada, yada, yada. We've done so much, and we've been able to do it with your guys' partnership financially, you know, so we don't take an offering, but we use whatever's offered, right? And so we thank you guys for that. Also, two messages going out online. We're able to connect online to, man, our audience online is huge. It's amazing, and that is a blessing, but it's also, man, I want those people back in the house of the Lord. So we need to be praying over our country, over this virus, and that God puts an end to this garbage, right? And we can get back on business with the Lord. So hey, if you got your Bibles, let's head on over to Luke chapter 12. As you guys know, we go through the books of the Bible chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And I don't know if it's true for you, but it is for me that wherever I find myself in the Bible, there I am in life. Have you guys ever noticed that? You can open up the Word of God anywhere in Leviticus, and it'll preach to you. And so there's really no else to go except for the Word of God, right? What else are we going to do? Where else are we going to go? Jesus alone has the Word of life. And so we're falling in Luke chapter 12, around verse 35. But let's pray, and we're going to get into it. Father, we love you. Thank you for this Word. I'm so excited about it. Thank you for speaking to me about it, opening my eyes with it. And Lord, I just pray that you give us clarity of mind to hear and listen and to take these truths at heart, Lord, and apply them to our life, that we may be more like you, Lord. We love you, Jesus, in your name. And the church said, amen. So last week, Jesus was talking about this issue of worrying and how worry doesn't work. And we're in a season, definitely, where we've got a lot of things to worry about, right? And what he said was in verse 34, He gave the remedy of worrying. And basically what it was it's a heart issue why we worry and why we freak out. And so he said, get your heart in the right place. Because if your heart's in the right place, then everything falls into place. Everything's going to make sense. You're going to have strength. You're not going to be anxious. You're not going to have worry. You're not going to be upset all the time. Now, it's interesting when we look at that because he says in order to get your heart in the right place, it's got to go after your treasure. See, sometimes we think where our heart is, our treasure will follow. But what Jesus says is where your treasure is, your heart will follow. And that's the remedy for freaking out and having anxiety and being worryful all the time and stressing about whatever's going on in our life is that we got to look and say, where's our treasure at? Because if we can say our treasure's in the economy, the selection, a vaccine, whatever, you can see that we're going to have some serious ups and downs in this life and we're going to be freaking out because we're putting stock in something that's going down. It's kind of like if I gave you $1 million and I told you this is all the money you're ever going to have for the rest of your life, you need to invest it in one company. And let's say it was, I don't know, Amazon. Are you going to be checking out Kentucky Fried Chicken stocks? Right? How's Burger King doing? You're not going to care about anything but Amazon, right? Because your money is in Amazon. What happens in Amazon, man, that stock better go up because I got my money there. And you're going to be thinking about Amazon. You're going to be, getting into the Amazon handbook of investments, and you're going to be in it. And in the same way, Jesus is like, hey, get your investment in the kingdom of God. Start putting your time in that. Start putting your resources there. Start putting your whole life in the kingdom of God. And guess what? Your heart is going to follow where you put your treasure. Man, where have you been putting your treasure? Have you been anxious lately? Have you been worried? Can't we just go to God's word and say that he is right? Where our treasure is, our heart is also. So if we're not doing good mentally, anxiously, worrying, is it probable that we've got our treasures in the wrong place? So we want to get our treasures in the right spot because that's where our heart will be. And so now Jesus goes into this section where he's talking about him coming back. You know, Jesus is coming back. And we don't talk about it a lot in church. And we should be talking about it a lot more than we actually do. But in this section, Jesus is getting the disciples. They're all sitting down with their peppermint lattes, their chestnut praline, which is pretty good. And he's having a one-on-one with his disciples. And after he talks to them about how to get their heart right, like where are you spending your treasure, where's your treasure, now he wants to even give them more hope. And he's like, I'm coming back for you guys. This ain't it. This ain't the ending. This is the beginning. And he sits them down and he wants them to be anxiously expecting his return. And he says to him in verse 35, he says, let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he'll return from the wedding, that when he comes and he knocks, they may open to him immediately. And so Jesus gives the disciples an attitude of waiting expectantly. And he tells them, I want you to be expecting my return, he says, with your waist girded. Now, that's kind of weird language. What was happening is they had man dresses. And unless you live in Portland, it's kind of not a thing around here, right? I'm going to get hate mail on Facebook for saying that. But unless you man dress is kind of unusual thing for a guy to be wearing, but they wore them kind of all the time, so it was cool. It was like a cultural thing. And before they would fight, and before they would serve, and before they would work, they would tie it up in their belt so it didn't trip them up in their life, right? Because they had stuff to do. And man, if you're going to fight somebody, you don't want to be tripping over your dress, right? So he's like, you need to get prepared for action and prepared for service and tie up, gird up around your waist. And when I was reading that, I was thinking about, I know we're not wearing man dresses today, thank God. But one of the things that does happen and I think does apply to us is we're always going to be tripping up in our Christianity if we're not tightening up things in our life. Amen. See, there's a lot of stuff. Now, we're Christians. We love Jesus. But we have things in our life that can really trip us up. What's the scripture say? Throw off any sin that so easily entangles us and let us run this race with endurance. Let's get after it. But the problem is we're going to be tripping up in our Christianity if we're not tightening things up in our life. And sometimes the things that we got to tighten up in our life, they're not even bad things. Right? Going on Instagram is not a bad thing, but when you go on Instagram and you're looking at all your friends' posts and you're wanting that husband or that wife or that kid or that house or that boat or that place, and you're just like, man, they got everything. Instagram's not bad, but guess what? It's tripping you up because you're looking, right? We're looking at everybody else's stuff, and by the way, whatever people post, it's a game, right? I mean, it's not even real half the time. If you could only know what people are going through. They try to post up these pictures where everything's cool, but it's a wreck. But we can get in this game and we get tripped up and we're like, man, we don't even look at what God's blessed us with because we're tripping out on Instagram. Or maybe politics. Politics isn't a bad thing. I mean, we should know about politics, right? But man, when you're getting on Facebook and you're posting stuff and then people are getting in fights with you about it, that's not the best thing. I mean, we gotta be on guard about things that aren't necessarily sin, but that can trip us up. Worrying about the business all the time, freaking out on money. Business is good. Thank you, Jesus, for it, providing for us. But being anxious about things is bad, and they can trip us up. And so what we need to do is if we're not going to get tripped up, we need to tighten up. He says, gird it up. Why? And because he wants us to keep moving and keep pushing. When everybody else is in a state right now of freaking out and collapsing, the Lord looks at his people and he says, tighten it up. You can get through it. But you need to get tightened up in your life. And he says, keep your lamps burning. What's the lamp? That's our testimony about who God is and what he's done in our life, that everybody should see that there's been a pattern in your life where God has taken you from good to better to best. And I'm not the best. I mean, I don't know. I don't think I have the, I try to have the best testimony, but you know what? I'll tell you, especially when I'm driving, boy, you know, Vicky, something happened this last week when we were driving. I won't go into details. And my wife was with me. And so something happened on my end in the car, and Vicky looks at me and she goes, Jason, I got to tell you a couple things. Number one, people know you in Newport, okay? And she says, and number two, Jesus wouldn't ride with you in this car acting like that, like he doesn't want nothing to do with you. And I start thinking about, man, I got these things, like this small stuff that need to get tightened up because I want my lamp to burn bright. And when it's easy to get mad at people and frustrated with people, and we're going to look at that again and why in this time, but we want to have our lamps burning. And that's part of our story, is that we live by grace, that we live by forgiveness. We're not always getting it right. Man, I don't want to be nasty to everybody on the road and, you know, mad at the guy in front of me at the self-checkout because he doesn't know how to work the machine and I want to get out of there before I get COVID. I don't want to get nasty. I don't want to be that guy. I want my light to shine, but it's a process, and that's part of our testimony, right? Is that God's got us, and he's working us through. There's a process. There's part of a process to his plan, right? And so now, Jesus says, blessed are those who are waiting and now watching. Check out verse 37. We're moving along. We're doing good. Blessed are those servants who the master, when he comes, will find them watching. Say that with me, watching. Thank you, Randall. That was good. That guy, he's got... Now say it with me, watching. Watching. This is so important what Jesus is saying. He says, blessed are the servants when he finds them watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself, the master, and having them sit down to eat, he will come and serve them. That's crazy. Jesus is going to serve us. That was one of those things he always tried to get through the disciples' head. Others first, right? You remember when he said at the Last Supper, when he said, "This I do to you, it's an example that you should do to each other." Man, how are you guys doing on your serving? Do you guys like to serve? Do you like to get treated like a servant when you serve? But you know what? Jesus made it clear. Those who are last will be first, and those who are first are going to be last. There's a special blessing for servants. And it says that Jesus will serve them. And blessed are those servants that, it says in verse 38, and if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. And so Jesus is comparing us watching him coming like somebody watching their house at these different weird hours. The second watch is from 9 p.m. to 12 a.m. And then the third watch is 12 a.m. to like 3 a.m. And nobody's up at that time except for my wife, right? It's like those are the hours that you're out. And he's like, those are the times, because there's times where we're just out, we're checking out. And he says, those are the times that you need to be awake and watch like somebody's going to be breaking into your house. How many of you, if I was to say in a week from now at 1:30 in the morning, someone's going to bust into your house and steal all your stuff, what kind of preparations would you be making today? Now I know some of you, and leaving would not be an option. You would want to be there. Like, you got so much anger and hostility, you're just like, man, I'm looking for a reason. I'll be there. I'll be prompt right there. And the next thing that intruder would feel after his hand touched your door would be like warm liquid coming out of his body, right? And he's like, feeling sleepy, right? He's out. Why? Because you're going to be ready. You're going to be like, you know, you're going to get that BB gun out, and you're going to be like, man, you done walked into the wrong house, sucker. I was ready for you before you ever got here. My pastor told me last week you were coming at 1:30. And Jesus is like, listen, we need to have that sense of expectancy and watching for the Lord return. And the problem is a lot of the time we get carried in our to-dos and to-don'ts and Christmas lists and all this other stuff and raising kids and taking care of a family and all of this stuff, and we don't really expect the Lord to come. Do you really believe, honesty time, that before we're done, that the Lord could return? Like, in your heart right now, are you on edge? Probably not, huh? Probably not. You know, and I think a lot has to do with that whole a watch pot never boils thing, because we've been watching and it seems like nothing's been going on. And so we get in this place where we stop watching and we're not looking anymore. We're not waiting. But check out what Jesus says, though. If that's you and you're like, I don't think he's going to come right now, look what he says. I'm coming in an hour you do not expect. So you're right on target for him coming back. I remember when I first read this, I was about 24 years old, and Vicky and I had been married a couple years, and we had our babies. And I'd take my Bible, and I'd read it. And I read that verse. I got out of bed, and I'm not joking, I got my clothes on. And then I hopped back in bed with all my clothes on. Because I was at that place where I was like, he's coming tonight. Like, I don't want him finding me in my underwear, right? And then when you're 50, you're like, may God never let anybody ever find me like that, right? So we're just like, but I was so ready. It was so real. It was like, man, any moment that Jesus can come back. And he's like, listen, I'm going to come back at a time for you when you're not expecting it to be a time for me. And that's going to change the way we think. It's going to change the way that we do stuff. If you go to work and you've got this mentality that Jesus is going to come back today, you know how you're going to go to work tomorrow? It's not just going to be a place to make a paycheck, but a place to make a difference. when you're raising your kids up, you know what's going to happen if you got that reality that Jesus could come back at any moment, at any day? It's not going to be about homeschooling and them learning how to read a book, but them having to learn how to read the Bible and how to disciple your children and encourage your kids in the Lord. The way that you do business, the way that we have relationships with one another. If we honestly believe that Jesus is coming back, boom, right now, it changes everything. And Jesus says, exactly. That's exactly how I want you to go. That's exactly how I want you to live. On the edge of your seat, in expectation, because when we're waiting and we're watching on the Lord, it's going to change everything for us. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, John says, all who have this eager expectation will themselves will keep themselves pure, just as he is pure. All who have this eager expectation, they will keep themselves pure. Meaning they grab your phone and they got access to your code and they can go through the history. It's all good. In and out of secret. Whatever's there, you can check it out because I'm living in expectancy. And so Jesus, as he goes, he doesn't want them just watching. He wants them working. Check out verse 41. Then Peter said to him, Lord, do you speak this parable only to us or to all people? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful servant? That faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household to give them their portion of food in due season. So who's the message for? Stewards. And what he's talking about, a steward is someone that the master gives resources to, and they're smart with it, right? Now, we don't have time to go into the history of the Jewish nation and the leaders and how they were supposed to be stewards over God's household, and they were going to make sure that God's household, the nation of Israel, were fed good doctrine and teaching, and they lived by example, and they took their resources, and they were a light not only to the nation of Israel, but the whole world. That's like the immediate context of it. But if we branch out a little bit, we may not be leaders of Israel in charge of a nation, but we are stewards because God has given us a lot that he wants us to be held accountable for and to get busy with what he's given us. If you've got kids, then you're a steward of them kids. If you're married, guess what? You're a steward of your marriage. If you've got income, guess what? You're a steward of that money, right? We don't want to be going to Dollar Tree and blowing $800 a week. Although I would have sworn that was my daughter's goal when she grew up, because the Dollar Tree. And this has got nothing to, how many men like going to the Dollar Tree? Raise your hand. I'm just curious. Men. Right on, right? No man in his right mind, and this has got nothing to do with my message, I got to hurry on, but no man likes going to the Dollar Tree, right? Why? Because it smells like a dollar. I don't know. Listen, I digress, but hey, check it out. Women love it though, right? That's like what do you want for Christmas? A Dollar Tree gift card. For how much? A dollar. It's like, right? You guys love it. I don't know what it is. It's weird. But if you've got sobriety, you're a steward. What'd you do with your sobriety? And so what Jesus is saying, he's like, listen, blessed is that faithful steward who took their sobriety, who took their company, who took their kids, who took their marriage, who took their grandbabies. And they steward those grandbabies for the Lord. Blessed is that servant. That's who the Lord's looking for. So listen, we're stewards. God wants us to steward what he's given to us. And I think there's a blessing in it for us too. There's that old saying, how do you have joy? And it comes down to three things, right? Jesus, others, and then you, right? So we're stewards, and God wants us to get busy, and there's a joy in that. I'm going to tell you guys what, we got to keep moving, but when I'm feeling the worst, it's usually when I'm doing the less. That's the God's honest truth. When I got too much time on my hands, that's when I'm not doing good. And we need to be good stewards of our time, our resources, our sobriety, our kids, our marriages, everything, because the time is short. Look what he says in verse 43. Blessed is the servant whose master will find him so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he'll make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, my master delays in his coming, and begins to go all Mike Tyson and beats the male servants, eats and gets drunk, the master of that servant will come. Sorry, Mike Tyson. The master of that servant will come on the day when he's not looking for him, at an hour when he's not aware, and he will cut him in two and appoint him his portion amongst the unbelievers. You know what Jesus is saying here is that if our attitude is the Lord delays, it's going to affect the way we treat others until he does. He says if that guy says, my master's delaying, he's going to go, all kinds of stuff's going to happen. What's he doing? He's not only drinking, he's getting drunk. He's not only eating, he's partying. He's not only partying, eating, and drinking, he's beating the junk out of people. This guy's going thoroughly off the rails, and it all has to do with because he doesn't expect God to return and check out what he's doing in his life. And he's like, it's going to affect the way you deal with people. I remember when Vicky, and my wife's a saint, we all know that, but there's been times where like she, I would get in trouble with her. And man, she would just be like, wah, 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 right? And I would ask her, you know, is this where you want Jesus to find you when he comes back? And that would work for a little while, right? She would be like, man, I don't want to be like this when Jesus comes back, and you know, and it would work. That worked for like a year. And then it would be like, man, babe, come on. You want to treat me like that? What? Jesus came back right now. She goes, if he came back right now, he'd slap you. So it's like now she doesn't even, there's this weird thing going on where she can now justify it. But the thing about it is in all kidding aside, we need to ask ourselves, man, how are we treating the people around us? Are we loving them? Are we caring for them? Are we willing to be put out because of them? How are we doing with the people around us? And I want Jesus, when he comes back, I want him to see me treating Vicky well. When Jesus comes back, I want him to catch me doing his business. When Jesus comes back, I want to be about it. Because I want to hear that saying, good, well done, good and faithful servant. And so he's like, listen, don't just be watching, but get to working as well. And I think some people are trying to practice living on the edge as much as they can before Jesus comes back or they die. And it's just like, I'm going to ride this thing as hard as I can till the wheels fall off and keep pushing it, but why? Let's get about it now, right? And so it says in verse 47 that in that servant who knew his master's will and did not prepare himself or do according to his will shall be beaten with many stripes. So this is like a bedtime story for your kids that'll like the next morning they're going to be like, can I do some dishes, right? But he who did not know yet committed these things deserving of stripes shall be beaten with a few. For everyone to whom much is given, from him much will be required. And to whom much has been committed, of him they will ask all the more. So that's an issue of being responsible with our resources, right? No matter what they are. If you've got a knowledge of Scripture and you're like a walking commentary and you've just got all these verses saved up, well, guess what? You're going to be held responsible for keeping your mouth shut instead of telling people about the Lord. Because you've got the knowledge of forgiveness and grace, and there's people out there, and we're just like, you know what? Yeah, you're a total tool in a jack wagon. I've got the answer, but I'm going to let you do your thing. You know what? We need to, like, get in. with the love of Christ. And so we're going to be held accountable for how much scripture we know. By the way, if you don't know a lot, guess what? Learn it, right? But we're going to get judged on what we know and what we have, not on what we don't know or don't have. And there's this issue of responsibility. And we want to say, hey, am I being responsible with what I got? So check this out. In verse 49, and we're going to close out with this section in here. Jesus says, I came to send fire on the earth, and how I wish it was already kindled. But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am until it's accomplished. So the fire that Jesus was talking about there was judgment. I'm bringing judgment on this place. What is the judgment? It's the cross. Because at the cross is where everything takes place. And there's going to be fire and judgment on how we say yes or no to that sacrifice on the cross. And then and that's why he says, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am until it's accomplished. What was the baptism? It was that he goes to the cross, and baptism, you guys know, when I baptized some of you guys, we go all the way down. It's full immersion, right? It's not sprinkling. It's full immersion. And what was Jesus baptized in? Suffering. He wasn't sprinkled with it. He was baptized in it completely, right? And so he says, I am so distressed until that thing takes place and happens, which tells me that Jesus wasn't obedient because he felt like it, but because he willed it. And there's a principle there for us. We can't always wait till we feel it to be obedient with it, right? There's going to be a lot of times where there's things that we just don't feel like doing. If I got up here every time I felt it, you know, it'd probably be once, you know, it wouldn't be a lot. Our worship team, you going to work. Think about changing those babies' diapers. You wake up in the morning, you're like, the first thing I want to smell today is diarrhea. Nobody has that. You don't feel like doing it. But there has to be an act where we act, and then those feelings follow, right? You got to have a right attitude, and then the actions will follow, right? The actions happen, and then your attitude follows. And so that's what Jesus is doing. He's like, man, I'm anxious until this is over, because this is God's plan for my life. And even though I don't feel like going, I'm going to do it. And that's a message for some people in church. I mean, we don't always feel like coming to church, right? But we need to be in the house of the Lord too, because that's where we get blessed. So he says that in verse 51, because of Jesus' sacrifice, he says there's going to be division. Do you suppose that I came to give peace on earth? I tell you, not at all, but rather division. For now on, five in one house will be divided, three against two, two against three. The father will be divided against his son, and the son against his father, the mother against the daughter, and the daughter against the mother-in-law. And people are like, yeah, see right there. That's why I don't like my mother-in-law. She's outlaw, crazy. And against her daughter-in-law, and her daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And so what Jesus is saying is that there's going to be divisions, and it's not going to happen from people you don't know. It's not going to happen from people it's going to be strangers. Not going to be strangers, it's going to be our own family that divides against us. And if you think that your family's cool, like you guys get a big get-together and you want to test this theory out, just start bringing up to somebody in your family, hey, Jesus is the only way, right? There's no other way but Christ. And then tell them, hey, you know what? You're never going to be good enough. Your bad deeds aren't going to be overturned by your good deeds. You know, in the end, you got the scale weighing. It doesn't work like that. Tell them that. Tell them that the ground is level at the cross, and that they're no better than the thief or the murderer or anybody else. No matter what they've done, whether they've actually done it in their life or they thought about it in their heart, they're jacked, and it's level at the cross. And people don't want to believe that. They just don't want to believe it. They just want to think, hey, man, I'm better than you. I don't do what you did. But Jesus says, no, it's not like that. There's going to be division when we start drawing the lines in the sand. And so we got to We got to remember that and just be obedient. Worship team, come on up. And so in verse 54, he says, "Then he also said to the multitudes, whenever you see a cloud rising out of the west, and immediately you say, a shower's coming, and so it is. And when you see the south wind blow, you say, there'll be a hot weather. And there is. Hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky and the earth, but how is it you do not discern the sign of the times?" Boy, if this ain't a message for us, church, you know the Jews, they should have known the sign of their times, that the Messiah, that Jesus Christ was right before him. Micah chapter 5, verse 2, hey, he's coming out of Bethlehem. Isaiah prophesied about him. There was John the Bee in the wilderness, and he was proclaiming, hey, make way, straight the way for the coming of the Lord, right? They should have known. They should have known the time was set. Everything was laid out there, and they totally missed it. And in our life, too, it's like, man, we can divide atoms and check out viruses under microscopes and all of this other stuff. And we know all these things about space and we know all these things about Earth. But we can't discern that the time that Jesus is coming back is soon. Even if he doesn't come back for 500 years, he's closer today than he was yesterday. Don't you see it? It could happen at any moment. And Jesus is telling them, you guys, you've seen all the signs and you should have known. What were the signs? The days are going to be like Sodom and Gomorrah, right? Where homosexuality and sexual perversion is going to be running rampant. Did you guys see what's going on in our world with sex? It's one of those things that we can look and we can see out of Hollywood how it gets more perverted and perverted and perverted. We're in Sodom. But what about the days of Noah? Didn't Jesus say it'd be like Sodom? It'd be like the days of Noah. What were the days of Noah? They were continually hateful and angry and mean and fighting and beating each other up and hurting one another. Don't you see what's going on? And he's like, you guys can look at the sun and the sky and the wind, and you can know what kind of day it's going to be, but you don't have any idea what kind of day you're living in. He's like, check it out. Raise your head up. Get ready, because the king's coming. And so he closes out with this. This is the last verse, 57. "Yes, and why, even of yourselves, do you not judge what is right? When you go to your adversary, the magistrate, make every effort along the way to settle with them, lest he drag you to the judge, and the judge deliver you to the officer, and the officer throw you into prison. And I tell you, you shall not depart until you have paid every last mite." Church, will you guys stand up with me? We're going to close out and worship right now. Lot of stuff right there. Lot of stuff right there. So Jesus says, so what's the plan? Like, what's the end result? Like, where's all this going? And Jesus gives a picture. And he says, when you're on your way to court with your adversary, do everything that you can to get it right. Because if you don't get it right before you go to court, this is what's going to happen. You're going to get locked up. Now, when we see that, I want you guys to understand something. When they heard that, they weren't like, okay, if I borrow my friend's tool that's $3,000 and I drop it in the river, I better work out a solution before we get to court because, you know, it's just going to, I'm going to have to pay that $3,000. Or if you rear-ended somebody and you're trying to justify it, like, man, they just, you know, they put on their brakes, they're driving like they're drunk, and, you know, I hit this person, and, you know, I'm going to try to get out of it. That's not what he's talking about. I mean, I'm sure it's good advice. You know who he's talking about? Who's the adversary in Scripture? That's right. And you know what the Bible tells us? That he accuses us daily before the Father. And by the way, he does have evidence, just like Georgia. Hello.
Bad timing.
There's evidence, and we're guilty. And the only way that we can get out of that is settling before we get to that place of judgment. And Jesus says, I'm where you settle. And so this morning, I don't know who's listening or watching online or who's here today necessarily, but if you've got this idea that the Lord delays and you got things that are loose in your life that are tripping you up, hey, this is your wake-up call. Tighten it up. Tighten it up. Tighten it up. And for others that are here and we're just like, man, I'm trying to do everything I can with what I got. We're trying to be faithful with the Lord. He sees it and he's going to bless it as he has blessed it. Just check it out. But Jesus Christ, he gave it all, right? And so, Father, as we close this morning, we love you. We thank you for your sacrifice that you paid it all, Lord. Lord, we pray that we keep our eyes on your return, that we don't get caught up in all the to-dos and the to-don'ts and the things of the day, Father. We pray that we have a steward's heart to be responsible with everything that you've given us, and thank you for giving it to us, God. Lord, may our heart be right to the people around us, God, that we look and we say, how are we treating the people around us, Lord? Father, may it be pleasing to you. We love you, Lord. And we ask and we pray in Jesus' name that you come soon, that you come now. Lord, we love you. In Jesus' name, the church said, amen.